Brothers and sisters in Christ, God created us to know joy in communion with Him, to love all humanity, and to live in harmony with all creation. But sin separates us from God, our neighbors, and creation. And so we do not enjoy the life our Creator intended for us. By our sin, we grieve our Father, who does not desire us to come under His judgment, but to turn to Him and live. Therefore, God in His mercy has sent our Lord Jesus Christ to take our place under the law, to suffer for us, and to die the death we deserve. God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. During the 40 days of Lent, we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. The time of Lent reminds us that to know Christ and the power of His resurrection, we must also know the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death. As disciples of the Lord Jesus, we are called to struggle against everything that leads us away from love of God and neighbor. I invite you, therefore, to confess your sins, ask our Father for forgiveness, and commit yourselves to this struggle. Let us be silent. Let us be still. Let us pause now for a time of reflection and self-examination. Most holy and merciful Father, we confess to you and to one another that we have sinned by our own fault, by our own grievous fault, in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart and mind and strength. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have not forgiven others as we have been forgiven. Have mercy on us, Lord. We have been deaf to your call to serve as Christ served us. We have not been true to the mind of Christ. We have grieved the Holy Spirit.
Have mercy on us, Lord.
We confess to you, Lord, all our past unfaithfulness, the pride, hypocrisy, and impatience in our lives.
We confess to you, Lord.
Our self-indulgent appetites and ways, our manipulation of other people.
We confess to you, Lord.
Our anger when our selfish aims are denied, and our envy of those more fortunate than ourselves. Our love of worldly goods and comfort, and our dishonesty in daily life and work.
We confess to you, Lord.
Our negligence in worship and prayer, and our failure to show the faith that is in us.
We confess to you, Lord.
Forgive us, Lord, for the wrongs we have done, for our blindness to human need and suffering, and our indifference to injustice and cruelty.
Forgive us, Lord.
for all false judgments, for uncharitable thoughts toward others, and for our prejudice and contempt for those who differ from us. For what we think or say or do that is at variance with your will.
Forgive us, O Lord.
Restore us, good Lord, and let your anger depart from us.
Hear us, Lord, for your mercy is great.
Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, does not desire the death of sinners, but rather that they turn from their wickedness and live. Therefore, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. During these days of Lent, let us implore God to give us renewal and His Holy Spirit. May we continue to abide in the true faith, and at the last, be received by Him through the merits of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Ash Wednesday, the very beginning of Lent, is a solemn day for Christians. Ashes and sackcloth are the symbols of repentance, and our sin is before us. The scripture lessons chosen for this Ash Wednesday are all three stories that speak to us of sin in varying ways and of the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. The first lesson comes to us from the 12th chapter of the second book of Samuel. It is the story of what happened following King David's sin with Bathsheba. He was separated from the Lord, not going to the temple for a long time. But the Lord sought him out. It was difficult, but nevertheless wonderful. The Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, "There were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb that he had bought. He raised it, and it grew up with him and his children. It shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him. David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, 'As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this deserves to die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity.' Then Nathan said to David, 'You are the man. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave your master's house to you and your master's wives into your arms. I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if all this had been too little, I would have given you even more. Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and took his wife to be your own. You killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now, therefore, the sword will never depart from your house, because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own. This is what the Lord says. Out of your own household I am going to bring calamity upon you. Before your very eyes I will take your wives and give them to one who is close to you, and he will lie with your wives in broad daylight. You did it in secret, but I will do this thing in broad daylight before all Israel." Then David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." Nathan replied, "The Lord has taken away your sin. You are not going to die." This is the word of the Lord. In that first lesson, we see the seriousness of sin, the pain that it brings, but also the wonderful forgiveness of the Lord. The second lesson is a story from the New Testament, the book of Acts. It is the story of a man and his wife who lie to the Holy Spirit. And this dread story reminds us how serious sin really is. Now, a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, "Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God." When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then the young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, "Tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land?" "Yes," she said, "that is the price." Peter said to her, "How could you agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also." At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in, and finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. This is the word of the Lord. We rise for the words of Jesus. The Holy Gospel is written in the 18th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke. In the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, or publican, we see the two possible reactions to God's grace and mercy. May we not involve ourselves in the pride of the Pharisee, but instead come with the humble attitude of the tax collector. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. This is the gospel of the Lord. With all these scriptural truths in mind, we confess our faith in the triune God in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Word of God, which we shall consider this evening as we think about our sin and think about God's forgiveness, is written in the 14th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Mark. "Am I leading a rebellion," said Jesus, "that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I was with you, teaching in the temple courts, and you did not arrest me. But the scriptures must be fulfilled." Then everyone deserted him and fled. Fellow children of God, this Lenten season, those wonderful, beautiful words of the Savior from the cross will form our theme. Father, forgive them. Jesus asking the Father to forgive us, a question we could not ask, but he could in his righteousness and in the fact that he bore our sin and our death. So as the season of Lent goes on, we'll be at the various places where the story of the Savior's suffering and death take place and see how sin can be a real problem in our lives, but also then, of course, see God's forgiveness. The scene of our first devotion is the Garden of Gethsemane. "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death." Now, it's sometimes said that the words that you say can come back to haunt you. Rarely does that happen as quickly as it did that night. Those words were all spoken to Jesus in the upper room. And so a short time later, we find ourselves on the Mount of Olives in the Garden of Gethsemane, and suddenly everything has changed. The courage that expressed itself earlier that evening had faded like the morning mist, and they were running away. Courage is often like that. When you feel it the most, it's when you need it the least. And you feel it the least when you need it the most. Why did their courage flee? What happened to these wonderful disciples of the Lord, people we name churches after and listen to what they have to say in the scriptures? Well, it was a difficult time, we can say on their behalf. We're very conscious of the facts of the times, I mean, when we didn't stand up for the Lord, when we chickened out, when there was no real problem. Maybe the worst thing that was going to happen to us is somebody wouldn't be our friend, like we were in second grade. There was a threat of death. The disciples were very aware of what was happening. So we have to join tonight with the disciples, because to our sorrow and shame, we run away too. And when that happens, that's when we have to ask, forgive our fearful lack of trust in you. I don't think the disciples ever thought of themselves as cowards. They boldly stood with the Lord on many times. They didn't consider themselves braggarts or blowhards. They truly loved the Lord. They would be with him through thick and thin. And when they said those things, they meant them. They meant them from the bottom of their heart. But it quickly faded away, didn't it? You know, it was a wonderful night. Jesus even said, "I've longed for this evening to spend this Passover festival with you." Everybody stayed up all night long that night. It was a celebration of God's deliverance of the children of Israel. But the weeks leading up to it had not gone well. And Jesus was talking over and over again about dying, and he kept getting more and more specific. The Romans were going to crucify him. The Romans crucify the Messiah? That's practically unthinkable. And that night did not go well either. That night, one of the disciples would desert him. One was disloyal, betraying him. Things did not go well. How could they so quickly abandon the faith? I suppose we could focus on courage. Was that the answer? Do we need our courage steeled up? The disciples were confused that night. They didn't know what was happening. They went with Jesus, and as usual, they expected him to lead the way and to take care of whatever needed to be taken care of. He had always done that, hadn't he? Remember the storm that threatened to overwhelm the boat completely? It was Jesus who stood up and calmed the wind and the waves. It was Jesus who walked through the ranks of his enemies without them ever touching him. He was always there for the disciples. But then everything fell apart. Here comes this band of soldiers led by Judas, and they seize Jesus, they bind him, and they lead him away, and he doesn't do anything at all. In utter confusion, they run away. They did not have a clue about what to do. Now, we can think to ourselves of times when we've lacked the courage that we should have had. But surely we will be in great trouble this Lenten season if we believe that the answer to our problems is to steel up a little backbone and some courage. You know, you have all this story of all of Jesus' followers fading away. All of them, our text says. Everyone deserted him and fled. You've got the whole history of God's people in the Old Testament. That's a sad, sad tale of what people can do based on their strength and their ability. And we can look at our own lives and say, it's not looking good. So there really is something more that we need to see as we look at this story. And what we need to see is who Jesus is. You know, that's what the disciples missed. They saw him calming the wind and the waves. They saw him stand in front of a tomb and tell a man who had been buried for 4 days to come out and watched him walk out. They saw all of those wonderful things. But you know what they couldn't get? They couldn't get that he was going to die on the cross. that was just simply not something they could get in their head because they were thinking of Jesus in their own terms. He'll be this Messiah. Jesus, could you have my two boys sit at your right hand and at your left when you come into your kingdom? So we have our idea of how God ought to take care of us and what he ought to do. We certainly shouldn't get sick, and we shouldn't lose anyone that we care about, and we really shouldn't have terrible economic problems. Instead, what do we get? We get a Savior who dies in weakness. Now you say to yourself, well, but Pastor, I know the rest of the story. He rose from the dead. You know, I think that's the reason why the early church had a 40-day season for Lent. You didn't jump too quickly to Easter Sunday, because if you do, it's not going to mean anything. You have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You have to realize what your sins mean. Maybe someone's reaction to the first part of the service at the beginning is, isn't that a little much? No, Jesus died for our sins. Here we are concentrating on all of them. I especially didn't like that story of Ananias and Sapphira. Whew. But that's who we are. That's the fact. That's not something different. And if you think that God can wave his magic wand and make that go away, you're mistaken. He could wave his magic wand and get rid of all of us and start over. He could do that. But he can't wave his magic wand and make sin go away. The wages of sin is death. That's God's decree. And so the penalty was paid. And on the cross, there was Jesus saying to anyone who heard it, and to millions of Christians since that time, Father, forgive them. Jesus knew everything his disciples had done. Jesus knew everything that the people of Israel had done. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And he wept over the city. He knew it all. He knows everything about us. And he says, Father, forgive them. So in this Lenten season, we are wanting to renew the bond that Christ made with us in baptism and through the gospel, and that he nourishes at the communion table. We want to make that stronger. And the way that that happens is to understand the Savior. You know, God's name is I am who I am, Jehovah or Yahweh. I am who I am. I am self-defined. You don't tell me what I am to be or who I am. I am the Holy One of Israel. I am the one who redeems you. I am the one who loves you. And when we realize our sins and when we really see our Savior saying, Father, forgive them, we're not interested in getting rid of the cross. Oh, your old Adam is. Mine too. I don't want to suffer. I don't want any difficulties. I want everything to go nice and easy. That's what your old Adam says. But the new perfect man that God has created in you wants to share the suffering of Jesus Christ. Well, there's fear. But you know what? After Jesus had died on the cross, and when his disciples really knew what it was about, think of how they lived their lives. Good, solid Christian tradition says that all of them except John died the death of a martyr. Peter, the one who denied him. The last thing Jesus said to him is, Peter, you're going to stretch out your arms like the Savior and you're going to die. And Peter did. See, it wasn't a matter of courage. It was a matter of understanding the cross and then the empty tomb. And so we need to immerse ourselves in the gospel. We need to get deep down into everything that this means. That's what the 40 days of Lent are about. What has Jesus Christ done for us? And when I truly come to understand this and spend my time and my life thinking about what Jesus has done for me instead of only thinking about all the things that are around us, then all of a sudden, I have courage. All of a sudden, I want to do the things that are right because I am nourishing my new man. It only lives on the good news of the gospel. So, my prayer for you, our prayer for one another, and our prayer for ourselves is that we would come in these 40 days of Lent to understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. May the Holy Spirit grant that to us. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. With grateful hearts, we bring our offerings to the Lord. Thank you. rise to pray. Holy and righteous God, as we begin again the solemn spiritual journey of Lent, we come before you in deep humility. We confess that we are sinners, both by the nature we inherit and by the sinful thoughts and desires, words and actions that nature produces. Because of our sins, we deserve only your wrath and punishment. Yet you reveal yourself not only as a God of holiness and justice, but as a God of mercy and love. Despairing of our own merits and worthiness, and in response to your gracious invitation, we come pleading for your forgiveness. You have revealed your love and mercy for us sinners in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. You sent him into the world to be the atoning sacrifice for the sins of all people. Help us grasp by faith the great truth that the pain and suffering, the mockery and ridicule, and the death and punishment he endured should have been ours. We are stunned and overjoyed to hear him plead for us, "Father, forgive them." God of grace and mercy, may your Spirit continue to be with us as we follow the way of the cross. As we contemplate the story of our Savior's passion, build us up in our faith. At your table, draw us to you as we participate in the Savior's sacrifice on the cross by our eating and drinking of his body and blood. Renew in us the zeal to serve you and the desire and ability to boldly proclaim the grace in which we stand, so that all for whom you lived and died may join us in fellowship now and in your presence forever. We pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who brought the gift of salvation to all people by his death on the tree of the cross, so that the devil, who overcame us by a tree, would in turn by a tree be overcome. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power, God of might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. O Christ, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. O Christ, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Grant us your peace. Amen. Amen.
All of our confirmed members and those guests who have previously announced may step forward now at the direction of the ushers.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This was given unto death for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of all of your sins. It is strengthened and
take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. May this true body and blood strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Your sins are forgiven. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. May this true body and blood strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Your sins are forgiven. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. May this true body and blood strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Your sins are forgiven. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. May this true body and blood strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Your sins are forgiven.
This was given into death for the forgiveness of all of your sins.
Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. body and blood, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Your sins are forgiven.
This true body and blood strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Your sins are forgiven. take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. May this true body and blood strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Your sins are forgiven. Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. May this true body and blood strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Your sins are forgiven. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. May this true body and blood strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Your sins are forgiven. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. May this true body and blood strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Your sins are forgiven. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. May this true body and blood strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Your sins are forgiven. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. May this true body and blood strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Your sins are forgiven. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. May this true body and blood strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Your sins are forgiven. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. May this true body and blood strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Your sins are forgiven. Strengthen and preserve you in the true faith and the life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Sins are forgiven.
We rise and join in the Song of Simeon on page 11 of your service folder.
In peace, Lord, you let your servant now depart according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that have prepared for every people a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
O God the Father, source of all goodness, in your loving kindness you sent your Son to share our humanity. We thank you that through him you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. We also pray that you will not forsake us, but will rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, so that we willingly serve you day after day. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. It's nice to worship on Ash Wednesday with lots of your fellow Christians. So as the Lenten season continues, we urge you to make it your special Wednesday night opportunity to draw close to the Lord. God's blessings.